This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I feel like we got a doubleheader because it's like, Jeff Reynolds, weren't you just here last week?
Might as well make me a permanent part of the show.
I'm kind of thinking that's where we ought to go. Again, of course, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds. He's senior editor at Restoration News, senior investigative researcher at Restoration of America, restoration-news.com. Great site. Bookmark it. So it does kind of feel like that. And I'm fine with that. I mean, we should talk. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk.
Well, you know, it is a bit of a commute to have him in here, you know, bringing him into the studio.
I appreciate the time he takes to do that. That's a long haul from Florida.
Yep. It's always a good time, though. I love coming on and talking to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love having you, too. And speaking of podcasts and other things, I mean, you do talk to other people, and we're okay with that. We're fine. But you guys have started something new called Fraud Watchers, and you were on another podcast kind of talking about that, and there are a couple that have been making headlines, and you guys got to make a little news today.
Yeah, well, we didn't make the news, but we certainly
talked
about breaking
it. You got breaking. To break it.
Yeah, that's right. And so although we are building a whole big news dump that's going to hit here pretty soon. So what we got going on, we did a podcast. It's me and Walter Kurt, who is a senior fellow for Restoration News. He also runs the WC Dispatch. He's based out of Ohio, and he's created several different computer programs to go through all the open source data that has been released by the Trump administration for expenditures from the Medicaid system. And what he's done is then analyzed all of these different data sets and figured out where the fraud is coming from. And it's a lot to sift through. It's crazy. It's a multi-month project just to organize all this stuff and map where it's all going. So we have started a regular live event on social media every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Pacific, where we talk every week. We talk about all of the different investigations that are ongoing that we're running. So we're working directly with Walter to put up what we're looking at in the next several weeks. We'll have a website up called fraudwatchers.news. Okay. And it'll be a synthesis of this massive database, in fact several massive databases that he's got access to, and then he's going to do it as a map, kind of a graphic where you can click on your city or your state or your county and see all of the different fraud, or not fraud, but like the increase in Medicaid spending from say 2019 to today, which would be a major indication of something untoward that's going on. And I think we've talked about this before on the show here, that Walter has already started investigating the state of Michigan, and has within a month, several months ago now, he had uncovered well over $100 million in fraudulent Medicaid payments that were never investigated by the state of Michigan. All right. So now we get to today, and we're doing our podcast. And right before we do our little podcast, our live event on social media, the Trump administration has a press conference. Dr. Oz, head of HHS, and the CMS people, and all of the administrators that are in charge of investigating or auditing the Medicaid program. They had a press conference in which they announced, this is enormous. They have decertified the investigative arm of the Hawaii Medicaid system.
Wow.
Because they refused to even audit any of the payments that were going out. They're required by federal law to have a dedicated investigative body that will audit all of this stuff and catch all the fraud. Mm-hmm. They announced that they decertified the state of Hawaii Fraud Investigation Unit because they had zero convictions in a 4-year period. So they haven't even tried to look for fraud in the Medicaid system. That's exactly what we're finding. Our previous reports in Michigan were the same thing, mm-hmm. that, you know, this hundreds of millions of dollars of Medicaid fraud that's going to providers that either don't exist or occupy buildings that are actually being torn down right now, all kinds of stuff like that, right? During that press conference, also, they announced that they had decertified like 50 or so Medicaid service providers in the state of Ohio, which is where Walter is based.
Yeah.
So it really is. The basis of Walter's investigation has been that these home health care providers, these home services providers, are really bilking the system and getting paid for doing nothing, or getting paid to do household tasks, or, you know, just all kinds of fraudulent services being billed under certain Medicaid codes that they can bill under. So it amounts to an enormous spike in fraud. And it coincides with the Biden administration taking over in 2021. In Michigan, the Democrats took over the House, the Senate, and they already had the governor, but then they took over the House and the Senate in the legislature in 2023. And from that point forward, it skyrocketed the amount of Medicaid spending that was going on. And that's a clear indication of fraud. And so Walter dug into that for a couple of weeks and found $100 million, and, you know, a couple more weeks he had another $100 million, and pretty soon we're talking about real money here.
That is absolutely crazy. And of course, you know, this kind of sounds familiar to what, you know, the fraud that Nick Shirley was uncovering, the Leering centers, that there's a lot of eyeballs on this. There's a lot of people that are waking up to this. And when you look at, especially right around tax time, and it's like, I'm writing a check with how many zeros? Right. And then I'm hearing all of this fraud going on. The people that are coming in here and totally scamming the system, there's no oversight. It's absolutely, it's infuriating. And that doesn't even feel like a strong enough word. Because I'm just pissed about all of this. And I think so many Americans really are.
Well, and think about the human cost of this, right? Yes. Because there are some native-born Americans that actually rely on these programs. I've got a friend, for instance, who can't get benefits to care for her husband and her mother, both of whom have Parkinson's disease. She should be able to apply for these benefits, she can't. And she can't work because she's full-time taking care of these people. And it's because there are so many limitations to the system placed on it, because all that money is just going out the back door. So, you know, this is stealing money, not just stealing money from the taxpayer, which is bad enough, which is outrageous enough, but you're stealing benefits from beneficiaries to give them to, you know, unassimilated illegal immigrants who are sending it back to wherever they came from instead of becoming full-fledged Americans.
Yeah, and completely scamming the system. And I'm glad you brought up the point about the family that couldn't get it. I mean, we see that all the time with veterans who can't get the services that they are absolutely entitled to, and genuinely, to use that word, and that they, because they have fought for this country. And I'm so tired of seeing the fraudsters, illegal aliens coming in here, what we saw in Michigan. And they have, like you said, they're not going to assimilate anything, and they're just coming in here to steal from us. I'm done with it, and I'm done not talking about it.
And I'll tell you what, Oregon as a sanctuary state is probably next on the list. I know that they specifically said in the press conference, the Hawaii decertification of their fraud investigation unit is a shot across the bow to every state that's not investigating fraud in the Medicaid system. And I will tell you, I forget who the guy is that has the Substack. Is it Jeff Eager? I think it was Jeff Eager.
I think it's Jeff Eager, yeah.
Yeah, he put out that since the year 2000, the state of Oregon has shut down a grand total of 8 Medicaid providers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in 26 years, 8 fraudulent Medicaid providers have been shut down. So Oregon is next on the chopping block. And this is something that, you know, they're required by federal law to actively pursue anybody who's defrauding the system. In the state of Michigan, going back to our previous investigation, we went to the the website of the state auditor that's in charge of investigating Medicaid for the state of Michigan. And she was out there bragging about how she had uncovered $1 million worth of Medicaid fraud. But in the meantime, she was aggressively pursuing identity theft, which, you know, good for you, but we didn't even have the resources of the state available to us, and we found 100 times as much fraud as you brag about uncovering.
It's crazy the amount of lip service that is paid and hoping that we won't pay attention. Go ahead.
Well, it's always been, you know, American citizens, people, hardworking Americans who want to get these programs. We have a family friend who turned out he was discovered he had a very rare degenerative disease. It's rare enough that he literally, it took, I believe, about 18 months for him to finally get approval through Medicaid and Medicare. It literally put him homeless. Luckily, he had family he was able to stay with in the meantime. And I'm going, when it's an 18-month process, and it's because it was a rare disease, they couldn't really put into a bracket and say you qualify. He had to prove it through doctors and everything else and seeing multiple specialists. And I'm just sitting here going, when our system is so rigged against the people that actually need the help, and yet it's handed over en masse to people that don't need the help, that come up with a code. And that's the other part of this. And I sit here and go, the people that are getting these benefits, illegal immigrants, whomever is gaming the system, they're not doing this on their own. There is somebody well-connected and powerful who is providing them that information.
Yeah, and that was the second half of our live presentation today, was talking about all of those organizations that are organizing this. Because it's the same organizations, by the way, the NGOs, the 501c3s that are taking advantage of the IRS tax code for nonprofit status. It's the same organizations that are funding all of the paid protesters to go around to different ICE locations and protest, whether it's Portland, whether it's the Delaney Hall situation in New Jersey. Whether it's Minneapolis, it's all the same people, it's all the same organizations, and they're funding this, they're funding that, and they're organizing all of it. We talked about how at Restoration News, we've covered this new position, I guess it's not even new, but this position called a protest coordinator. And this first came up when we were reporting on the campus protests in 2024, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine protests on campus, where people were, where students were encouraged to make encampments on the college greens at big universities all across the nation. They hired protest consultants to go in and organize all of these students and get them radicalized and make them, you know, give them tents and give them food and all that. We saw over the weekend that the Delaney Hall thing in New Jersey was fully catered.
They
paid for all their food, you know. So where's all that coming from?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're running long. Hold that thought, Hunter, because we're running really long.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you hold it over? Because I want to talk more about that.
I can definitely do that.
Because there is a network, and it's all very well coordinated. And so, again, we're talking with Jeff Reynolds. He's senior editor at Restoration-News.com. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, Hunter, release that thought.
It brings me back. You know, you're talking about catering and these things, and I'm going, you're seeing it everywhere, whether it's in Portland at ICE or whether even it was the Summer of Love. There's pallets of goods being brought out. There's pallets of bricks. There's pallets of this. There's tents. There's whatever they need. All these things are water. All these things are being provided from somebody, and I sit here and go, you know, I literally have a few friends up in the Seattle area that known them for my whole lifetime. And they are very happy anti-Trump protesters. And they'll post things like, you know, oh, I've never been paid to protest. Why are people saying they're paid to protest? And I'm going, but yet you admit that people then bring you things like donuts and food and water. So yes, you are being paid. It's not, you know, cash money, but you're being paid if someone, random person, is bringing you goodies to be out there holding a sign on the side of the street.
And let's be honest too, not every protester is paid, but the organizers very much are. And
yes,
there are, like I said in the previous segment, the protest consultants that you can get a job at an NGO or a 501c3 nonprofit where it's a community organizer position, or it's some other similar type of activist coordination, or, you know, whatever the euphemism is that they want to use on Indeed.com or whatever. But I'm not making that up, by the way.
No, well, it's a good career path. It took one guy to president.
That's so right. I was about to say, you know, you can start there and be president one day. And of course, you
can do it.
You can see, you know, you find them on Craigslist. We see them on Facebook. Yeah. Marketplace. Mm-hmm. Literally, they just put out, you know, we need people to help organize people for this event. They do it the time.
And if 10% of them are paid, that all of a sudden turns into a mob.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking. So again, I got another tweet up talking about Ohio that you were talking about. And so they're coming out here. There's a lot of press conferences, a lot of things that they're going to do. But meanwhile, and I, you know, we were talking, I mean, Glenn Beck has been mapping it out on his chalkboard, who all the players are, for over a decade. So all of us that have been paying attention and, you know, paying attention have known all these decades. We know there's certain names, Arabella, the Tides Foundation, all of these NGOs that are under these umbrella bigger groups. They're all tied together. It's all rather very incestuous, and they all fund each other. And of course, you got to throw George Soros in there. But how do you stop this? Because it's so we see billions here and another billion there. Meanwhile, we've got Americans that can't get the services that they deserve and that they need. Yeah. And we're all mad. But what do you do?
Well, I think we've seen that Congress is pretty inept at enforcing its own rules or taking a stand on anything, right? I think our judicial system is where we need to turn. I think we need to start taking the Department of Justice, and instead of weaponizing it against patriotic Americans, we should weaponize it against organized crime. And that's really what we're talking about here.
Truly.
We're talking about money laundering through from one nonprofit to another to another. Mm-hmm. We're talking about paying people to riot. We're talking about the people who are actually committing damage on America's streets in the protest movement, the people that are stealing the money through the Medicaid fraud and fraud in the SNAP program and every other welfare program. It's all going to come crashing down at some point. So we need to prosecute the people that are responsible for all this, but we also need to prosecute the officials who were responsible for auditing these programs and either refused to or turned a blind eye or actively I think they actively participated.
Mm-hmm. You would think, but remember the story about what, $7 million going through the airport in Minneapolis?
That's right. I was going to bring
somebody
that up.
Yeah. They knew about that. You don't just, we just didn't notice. Of course they noticed. That had to be facilitated.
That was just one flight, by the way.
Yep,
That was one flight. And it turns out, by the way, Walter dug into this a little bit. Walter Kurt, that we're working with at Restoration News. He dug into this, and it turns out that at the Minneapolis airport, the entire ground crew is nothing but Somalian.
Yep.
So these Somalis that were scamming the system and bringing suitcases full of cash back to Somalia were being let through by other Somalians that were in on the whole thing. So it's just this incestuous and, you know, obviously organized crime ring.
It truly is. And you got
and that
a lot
was
of
just
people.
One flight. It was $7 million on one flight. Imagine how many other flights they got away with it on.
And I can't bring a 24-ounce soda if it's open onto that same flight.
Right.
Exactly. I'm packing for my trip that I'm coming up, and I'm having to be really careful. Instead of getting like a spray of tick stuff, I got wipes. I mean, we're all like complying, like, you know, good little Americans that we do. And meanwhile, this fraud and thievery and organized crime. And people are kind of like when I had to write that check for taxes with those zeros in it. At what point do a lot of Americans go, my ROI here it's not balancing out on my balance sheet?
It's endemic in the entire government. And if you think back to the Biden administration, the IRS hiring 87,000 new audit agents, right, to go
guns.
Out and audit people. And yeah, exactly, that too. But they were looking at people who were not claiming something, you know, as low as $600 on their taxes. And so they're going to go after you for, you know, selling something at a yard sale for $601 and audit your entire tax return. But they're, in the meantime, the NGOs that enjoy the protection of nonprofit status granted by the IRS have no accountability whatsoever. There's absolutely something upside down in this entire system.
There really, really is. I mean, you look at, you know, even like something like raw milk, where you can't, that's sort of against a lot of regulations to get something as healthy as raw milk. There's so much fraud and corruption, I think, at every level of the system. And I'm glad that you guys are blowing the whistle on it, that it's out there at Restoration News, that a lot of people are seeing. And unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans are still, everything's fine. They're in this sort of little blissful bubble that they don't know what's going on around them. This is not sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable, and it's stealing, as I said before, you're stealing directly from the taxpayer, and you're stealing directly from people who really need these benefits, who are native-born. And, you know, a lot of this fraud is actually going on in the illegal alien enclaves that we have, that, you know, the 20 million illegals that Joe Biden led into the country. That's a direct source of all of a lot of this. So when it's going to people that weren't born here and don't want to assimilate, and stealing from people who deserve it, we got a problem.
Yep, and we got to stop it. Okay, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Jeff Reynolds.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, there was so much information. Again, an hour is really never long enough, but it just, as far as talking about fraud and systems and things that were good, and everybody kind of looks around and goes, things kind of really suck. And that's why I think the nostalgia trend for things in the 80s and everything else. But one of the things that really, really sucks, and I know this personally, you know, Obamacare was going to just save us. Health insurance now, the headline at Breitbart News is, health insurance now costs more than a mortgage. Thanks, Obamacare. I do want to say that I did see, I don't know who posted it this morning, but in the, oh, it was Steve Dace, in the Iowa race for governor, the guy that won the Republican primary, named Lon or something, Zach Lan, was actually at a forum with Obama when he was running and challenged him on Obamacare.
Oh,
this
I
was
saw
saying
that.
None of this is going to work. It's competitiveness and free market. Everything we had before Obamacare. And I've said I had to be, because I'm a private contractor. I'm out on the exchanges. The product is terrible. The cost is through the roof. It's absolutely outrageous. So thanks, Obamacare.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just the exchanges or the free market stuff, quote unquote, free market stuff.
Yeah.
It's also the employer-based coverages, too. I can tell you, my wife has had the same benefits through her work for the last decade plus. Mm-hmm. And so we've been through like the entire cycle on this one same plan. And the costs for us have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And we got one kid that's already out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, and the monthly outlay that we're putting just to pay for the benefits is significantly higher than it used to be.
Yeah.
And we're getting much worse coverage, much worse care. And you know, our insurance company is famous globally for denying as many claims, that like it has the highest denial rate of any insurance in the world. And so, yeah, I mean, you're not even getting the benefit for all of that expense. It's insane what this has done. And Obamacare, we said this at the time, that guy from Iowa said at the time, it was designed to break the private insurance market so that they could usher in single payer healthcare.
Exactly,
now,
right.
what's ended up happening, I don't know if that's eventually going to happen or not, but what's ended up happening is it's absolutely broken insurance. Insurance does not work at all the way it's intended. But what's happened instead is that you've got all these private insurance companies, the big giant conglomerates, all the familiar names that you see the commercials on TV all the time. There are, you know, a dozen of them, let's say. And they have successfully lobbied their representatives in Washington, and they've created all of these rent-seeking options where they get special carve-outs, they get special contracts where they have guaranteed income. That's why they all backed Obamacare, by the way, because it expanded the pool of people that were required to have insurance. And, of course, they want to have more beneficiaries. And now they're motivated by the profit margin to deny as many claims as they can. So it's all intrusion of the government into the free market that has broken everything. And we said it at the time, we've been saying it ever since, and the Republicans ran on repealing Obamacare, and then they never did.
That's exactly right.
My timeline, I'm literally like, I was working, I had an employee-paid program at the time. We saw this coming, and it went from, I believe I was paying like $100 a month for my family. The business covered me 100%. Then all of a sudden it was like from, you know, 90% down to it's only paying like 75%, and I'm paying $400 a month to cover myself and my family now. And it's just
deductibles are going
well,
up.
And all of the other predictions are coming true right now. You know, reaching out and trying to get a doctor's appointment because something is not feeling quite right. Literally, you're 3, 4, 5 months down the line before you can even see a doctor at this point.
It's absolutely outrageous. And then the cost of it, again, the deductible is $10,000. I think mine got like $9,000 deductible. And I'm looking at like a bronze plan or a silver plan. So if you even wanted to get the best, and then you've got a lot of people, especially younger, I'm not in a position to do this, who are just going to be uninsured and then pay cash. And so there's a whole different whole market that's kind of coming in. It's not a black market, but it's like an alternative. And you've got concierge medicine. So the market is trying to come in and fill a niche because this is so broken and it's corrupt. And like you said, Jeff, it was designed to fail.
Right. And I was going to bring up the concierge care. That model is exploding because of the broken nature of the insurance industry. And I go to a concierge clinic for my primary care. And you pay a monthly membership fee, and you can have as many appointments as you want for as long as you want. Dr. Drew Pinsky actually points this out. He repeatedly talks about this, and he's right that the current situation means that any doctor that wants to have their own practice can't afford to actually open their own practice. They have to be an employee of a large network, both for liability concerns because malpractice liability has gone through the roof, and also because you can't afford, because of the Medicaid reimbursement rates for doctors, you have to be able to treat Medicaid patients, and you just never make back your money because the Medicaid reimbursement rates are so low. They're actually under market, which means that you're asking these doctors to everybody talks about doctors being rich and you know, wealthy and all that.
No,
I mean, they make a lot of money, but the expenses involved in running a practice are so prohibitive that it doesn't make economic sense. Dr. Pinsky, Dr. Drew talks about how you can't even see a doctor. In many cases.
You get a physician's assistant.
That's right. He calls them physician replacements. And he talked about that in 2012, when they were first started talking about Obamacare. You know, and he got pilloried for that, but he turned out to be right. And it's nurse practitioners, it's physician's assistants, it's RNs, all of whom provide great service.
Absolutely.
My primary care is a nurse practitioner, and she's excellent.
Yeah.
But it's a step below a medical degree, and you don't get to see the full doctor unless you get referred to him for, you know, some sort of advanced care.
And especially with the amount of money that is coming out of pockets. And I think about that. Did you talk about health care? Because we're talking about insurance, but health care as well. The quality of health care, a lot of it has gone down. And I don't know. It seems like it went down when they went all to all digital records. I mean, it just seems like paper records, and you had a file, and they were taking notes, and they were spending time with you. And my primary care doctor back in the day would spend time with you. I'm in a more rural community now, and I have a physician's assistant. And we'll spend 20, 25 minutes because I'm in a smaller area, but that is not the norm. A lot of times it'll be, you need to be here 15 or 20 minutes early to fill out some paperwork that you already filled out online. Then you're going to cool your heels in the waiting area for another 45 minutes. And
yeah,
so
because
they're running late.
You have to
be
there early. Yeah.
So everything about it sucks. And yes. I don't know
what
to do.
It's like the DMV took over medicine.
Medicine. So it's kind of good to see alternatives popping up where you want that relationship again. And I don't think doctors got into the field of medicine because they love paperwork and filling in checkboxes on an iPad.
Yeah. No, you brought up the digital records thing, and I remember when that was going on. And it just made me think, you know, as a Gen Xer, society just peaked in the 90s, and it's been a long, slow decline since then.
I agree. But,
I mean, the absolute erosion of customer service in general has been something I've been on for decades now.
Yeah.
And it has a clear origin all the way back to the early 90s when C-suite executives started talking about efficiencies in the system. Mm-hmm. And so they tried to, you know, compartmentalize all of the different customer service roles. But that's gone, you know, it's not just one industry, it's like everywhere. But then you also have things like HIPAA that were supposed to protect your privacy. That was late 90s when that passed. Mm-hmm. And then the digital records craze. Let's get away from paper records because it's good for the environment. And but you still, I mean, 30 years after that movement started, you still don't have efficient computer systems that can talk to each other and exchange those records in a way that I, as a patient, can actually use that information.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You know what's depressing? The mustache and I have been watching, kind of binge watching old episodes of ER.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot how really good, I mean, that was a good show and all the characters were good. But one of the things that I've been watching is when it's an emergency room and you're looking at the absolute feats of nature that they will go to save a life. And my thought was, I don't think they would be doing that anymore. They wouldn't be doing everything they can. It feels like human life has been so devalued. And so it's just interesting. And of course they had paper records in the ER. Again, this was like 1994 to 95. Mm-hmm. And it just, when you look at that and you look at how medicine used to be, even as portrayed on TV and what it is now, you can get a little depressed and maybe need a glass of wine to get over it.
Yeah, no, this is something I wrote about before Obamacare passed. The warning of what was happening in the national health system in Britain is going to come to America because of Obamacare. Yep. And this has absolutely come true. And what I wrote about was it was actually Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, who worked with the National Healthcare Service or National Health Service in Britain to come up with this algorithm to determine whether or not you get care, and it's based on the adjusted quality life years you have left. So it's AQLY, and it determines how many tax paying years you have left in your life to be able to pay back into the system for the service you're getting from the National Health Service, whether or not you get care or just palliative care as they let you die.
Or a maid.
That's what Canada has turned into.
The insurance companies in medicine right now, they're already using something similar. They use that, you mentioned, you know, how they're, you know, top of the food chain in denying claims. I'm saying they're going, I see a whole lot of this. It is, well, that's not a necessary, that's a cosmetic need. So we're not going to worry about this issue you have, even if it's literally deteriorating every other bone in your body and leading to arthritis and everything else, because, well, it's about how you look more so than, you know, your living.
Yeah. And instead of having doctors making those decisions with you, you've got, like you said, the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's whether or not they can justify the expense on their bottom line is really it.
George Bernard Shaw would love this. Proves, sir or madam, that you're not just a useless eater.
Well, yeah, that's, you have the other ones. You have, you know, show me the money, I guess, is that's kind of the way it works now.
Yeah, you're just too expensive. Yeah. But here's a maid, medical assistance in dying for you. Canada's on the right track, right? Okay, that's sarcasm.
Yeah,
just not. Clearly, and then the national healthcare system is a complete sham. I mean, it's just it's all broken. So but here we are, and we're experiencing that ourselves, as goes the UK. Right. Sadly, I think in Canada, we're on that same road if we don't get our act together.
And we're in a situation where your monthly healthcare costs are not healthcare. Excuse me. It's not healthcare that you're paying for.
No, it's not.
The health insurance costs are more than your mortgage.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because property values have skyrocketed since the passage of Obamacare, too.
I'm thinking, just real quick before we take a break, though, I think in the article, too, it says the average family now pays $2,200 a month. Right. And the average mortgage payment is $2,000. So, yeah.
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 That's about right. I think that's almost exactly where I'm at.
If we could live in our health insurance, well, guess what? We wouldn't have a housing problem, I guess. Right. Just live that in your health insurance.
Wait, what? Are you like channeling the mayor of Seattle here?
I'm doing my best, you know, whatever.
That made absolutely no sense. So you sound just like
that's right. That's
I'm gonna need a break after that. So let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, everybody, we are finishing up our conversation with Jeff Reynolds from restoration-news.com. Quick programming note, we are not on the air next week. Mm-hmm. I am going on a family vacation with my mom and my sisters. We're going to spend the week on Cape Cod, where I used to spend my summers as a kid, so I'm looking forward to that. So pray for me, because I'm going to be out there during Pride Month in Provincetown, and there's a lot of ticks out there. It's like peak tick season, so I've got my little wipes, no liquid for me. So I can get through TSA.
At least a week from Monday, we'll get to hear how many times you were called a breeder just for being around.
I'll keep track. Okay, well, let's change the subject from all this heavy stuff, because there's a trend going on in Hollywood right now. It's actually not in Hollywood, that is giving Hollywood a run for its money. There are two movies currently that are like making bank at the box office. One of them is made by a 26-year-old. The other is made by a 20-year-old. One is a horror film called Obsession. Actually, both are. And the other one is called Back Rooms. Have you guys seen? I've seen trailers for both of these. They are on my must watch list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Both of those trailers look really interesting. I'll be watching, you know, the NHL playoffs or the NBA playoffs, and the trailer will come on. Usually I'm completely tuned out, but this actually caught my attention and made me watch. Right. So yeah, those both look interesting. And the story of making them is way more interesting to me, because you're seeing the abject failure.
Yes.
Contrast that with Mandalorian and Grogu, for instance, which was supposed to be the big redemption for Kathleen Kennedy and Disney Studios and all that. And it's by the time it's over, with all of the marketing costs and everything else, they're not going to make their money back. They're not going to make a profit on the best thing that happened to the Star Wars franchise in the last 20 years. They've even screwed that up.
Yes.
So, you know, they screwed up Buzz Lightyear a couple of years ago.
Yes.
You know, so the big studios outside of Top Gun Maverick, can you even think of a movie that was any good over the last several years?
One, Project Hail Mary.
Okay, fair. But that's
just one.
That proves the rule, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the big studio system is in free fall right now, and they're not producing quality, and it's because they have strayed away from what makes a movie good. It's telling a story, it's developing characters, and it's having a point, and, you know, making people interested in what you're trying to show them. Whether it's a visually interesting or the story arc or whatever it is, there are several different ways to accomplish that goal. But going in and messing with the storyline or devaluing the storyline for wokeism or injecting politics into it, that's happened way too many times over the last decade and a half, and that's contributed to the studio system completely failing.
Yeah, nobody goes, and they've killed beloved franchises to the point, and then they blame the fans who don't want to go see it. It's like,
right?
Well, yeah, you brought up the Star Wars and seeing a whole lot of this is kind of the last ditch effort to say Star Wars, and they've blown it. And you go look at an upcoming movie list, and 75% will be either sequels to something that was big in its heyday, or a remake of something that actually was good. And they're never living up to par. They're never recreate the magic that came the first time around.
What was it, last year or the year before that they tried that sequel to Indiana Jones?
I don't even go see them. And then they, they have to emasculate these great classic male characters, Indiana Jones. Sure. They killed off Han Solo. The thing about these two movies, one of them, Back Rooms, was an internet mean thing that had gone on. So there's a built-in audience there that comes with it from the internet. And then the other one with Obsession, they're not afraid to tell a unique and interesting story. And but it also kind of makes me think, a lot of people say the internet isn't the real world, but what we're seeing with the LA primary race for mayor, the internet kind of is a little bit. And with these movies, you're seeing maybe it is. So that old model, I don't know. What do you think about that? Because it's like, it's working here.
You're seeing the power of disruptors.
Yeah.
And this kind of parallels what we talked about earlier with the fraud stuff that we're uncovering.
Yeah.
Trump is the ultimate disruptor. He's going in and looking at these institutions that are so corrupt and so ossified and so incapable of governing themselves anymore. And he's like, well, this is stupid. Let's tear this down and build something else that's better. And that's kind of what you're seeing in Hollywood too. We're in this inflection point as a culture where the studio system in Hollywood is completely breaking down, and it's going to die a slow death, and in its place there will be all these disruptors like this internet kid that made this movie and is going to make a whole bunch of money off of it because they're not just outside the box. They've sidestepped the entire industry to say, we're going to democratize this based on the fact that the internet democratized information, it democratized capability of production. And then with AI, you can create anything you want, and you don't have to involve anybody else.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We always say, may you live in interesting times. It actually, when you look at that, it's really kind of exciting.
It is.
It's a little scary, but it's also exciting. Revolution,
I mean, there's a lot of danger to AI.
Oh, yes.
But there's also a ton, just unbelievable potential for wealth creation and art creation and all of those things because you've got a disruptive technology that's going to tear down the old institutions and replace them.
Yeah. I don't have a complaint about that. These two are on my list. I will be seeing them. We're out of time. I'm getting the hand signal, which means we're out of time. Jeff, always a pleasure. We'll have you back. I'll see everybody after I get back from the Cape.
All right,
everybody,
good luck.
Have a great day. All right, bye.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.